Hi, everybody. Hope you're having a great day so far. Before you start today's episode, I just want to give you a small reminder to hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you're listening to today's podcast. And also, if you have the time, if you could feel free to leave us a review, that would help us out tremendously. There are some weird podcast algorithms that are out there. Too scientific for me to comprehend or explain, but it would help us out tremendously if you did that. Thanks for listening to the Northern Nerd Podcast. On this week's episode, I had the wonderful opportunity to talk to Brad Henkel, who was born and raised in Hayward, Wisconsin, worked in sales and television for a number of years. He recently retired from that. And for the past 4 years, he's going on year number four right now of being a Lambeau Field tour guide. So I get to talk with him about life in Hayward, growing up in the area and everything, and then also talking with him about Packers football, what it's like to be a Lambeau Field tour guide, and everything in between. But there's a lot of Packers stuff in there. And what's not to enjoy about that? So if you're a fan of the Bears or a fan of the Vikings or any other NFL team, maybe this isn't the episode for you, and that's okay. But for everyone else that's Green Bay Packers fans, I think you're really going to enjoy this. Go Pack, go, and enjoy the show.
Everything in Hayward.
Hey, pretty good. How's everything in Green Bay, Brad?
Not too bad at all. Staying busy.
That's good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Glad to be on.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk with you about, you know, just life in Green Bay, what it's like to be a tour guide at Lambeau Field, and also talk about you growing up in the Hayward area as well.
Well, I loved growing up in Hayward. You know, it was pretty cool because we lived right by, and now I'm 64 years old. I graduated high school in 1978. So working at Lumberjack World Championships and, you know, and actually participating, I wasn't very good at log rolling, but it was fun to participate. But to work for, people like, you know, my uncle George Henderson and Sonny Williamson and stuff like, just the memories that you have from working there at Lumberjack World Championships and log rolling were some of the best memories I had as a teenager, as a kid growing up. So it was a really cool time to be in the Hayward area, you know, and the Fishing Hall of Fame wasn't there, and we grew up. You know, I grew up my dad's house, mom and dad. My mom has passed, but my dad is still there in the same house. And that's right in between the Hall of Fame and the Lumberjack World Champion, you know, and Lumberjack Bowl.
Oh, okay.
So what,
do you recall?
But that wasn't
what,
there back then. Yeah, that wasn't there back then. The Hall of Fame wasn't there for a number of years. They used to play church league softball games on a field over there where the Hall of Fame is now, the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame.
Oh, really?
I used to umpire games with my dad, actually, and my dad would play on the First Congregational Church team, and so it was, yeah, it was, and I love to play golf, so I would, you know, I would be carting my clubs from on my bike, leaving the house and going to the Hayward golf course, you know, on a number of times until they let me put my clubs in storage. Joe Kuda, who was the pro back then,
that was nice.
So, I loved growing up in Hayward. You know, yeah. handing out papers on the corner. I did that for 50 cents an hour.
Oh,
when
wow.
I was my seventh grade working for Tony Wise, sixth and seventh grade, I think summers. Just all we did from 10 to 2, we were told is to hand out these brochures on the corner where Pioneer Drug was and Inhofe's, I'm really dating myself, but Inhofe's was on the corner, and Tony Wise had an office down there, and all we needed to do was hand out papers from 10 to 2, 50 cents an hour.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's Yeah, something. I mean, the only time I remember where Inhofe Drugs was at Marketplace. So, that's the only time.
Yeah, you're a lot younger than me.
Yeah,
yeah, you're a lot younger. Than me.
Do you recall what year the Fishing Hall of Fame went up, like with the big muskie and everything?
Boy, I don't. I'd have to say, as a guess, maybe early to mid 70s.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to guess. I mean, I remember being seventh, eighth grade, you know, still, you know, when the softball tournaments or softball leagues were being played over there, sixth grade, seventh grade, something like that.
Okay.
So I would guess it would be early to mid 70s. I think when that went up, I remember my mother, she worked for the city attorney, and he would marry people in the mouth of that fish.
Oh, yeah. I believe that.
Big fish. Yeah, a number of times. A number of times.
Yeah. So, I mean, as a nerd of the Hayward area and everything like that, I feel like I should know that year, but for some reason I don't. I don't know when it started.
I should probably, too. But yeah, great times growing up in that area. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so then after high school and everything like that, did you stick around the area, or where did you end up going after that?
I went to college at UW-La Crosse and majored in mass comm. I mean, it was always something I wanted to do, to be involved in media. I graduated from there in 1983, and then was in radio for a couple of years in La Crosse, and then moved into the sales end. Robert Smith, who graduated from Hayward, was very successful in the La Crosse area in the advertising business, and kind of got me involved in radio sales. So I actually worked in sales for a radio station in La Crosse, and then moved into and then after doing that for a couple of years, went into television sales, and that's where I stayed. I went into television sales in 1986 ish and stayed doing in TV until I retired this past February. So I was at a TV station in La Crosse, two of them in Wausau, and two in Green Bay.
Okay. Well, congrats on your retirement there.
Yeah, advertising sales and sales management and station management. And but I really, you know, you get to meet, you know, in this media business, you get to meet tons of people, not just, you know, and clients that have turned out to be, you know, very good friends. Not only, you know, that in my career, and it's relationships, you know, are everything. And it's just been, it was just a, you know, a fantastic, fun ride being able to do that. My wife and I, my wife is from Hayward, Jill Williamson, and with her sister Wendy, you know, used to have the fly fishing shop.
Oh, yeah.
And, and sister Beth used to have the, with Barney, used to, you know, operate the ranch. But Jill and I got married, and then we moved here. It's like I said, relationships, and you can never know enough people.
Right.
So funny. I used to park here at times with a friend of mine when we went to football games at Lambeau, when we went to Packer games.
Oh, okay.
And it's just a funny, I mean, it's just a coincidental thing. And when we decided to move to Green Bay, the couple that owned this house were really interested in renting it out just for games, and they were building a bigger house on the east side of town, and when we were interested, so my friend in Wausau put me in touch with this guy who owned the house, and then said, well, why don't you come over and take a look at it to see if it's something that you're interested in. So I did, and I came over here and looked at the house and took a ton of pictures, because I was also interviewing at the one of the TV stations in town here, and I met her over lunch. And the funniest thing, when I left here, I looked at the house and I'm like, it didn't dawn on me until at the end, but the address is 1109, which is my son's birthday.
Oh, okay.
November 9th.
Yeah.
So just coincidental, you know, just, but you, then it's got to be in the stars that it should happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of funny. And then we rented it, got the deal done and rented it for a year until we bought it from them, a year later. So we've owned it since 2018.
Okay. Yeah. That's, and how many people, do you have people come over for games and everything like that and park there, I take it?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. We get, you know, using the backyard sometimes, and it's all via text. Via text or call. I mean, it's amazing. Like I said, the relationships that you build, that you have. We have people from La Crosse, we've had three people like from La Crosse that come over for Packer games, that knew my wife. And so they have the gold package. So they come over now. They'll be here three times this year.
Okay.
But we get anywhere between 15 and 18 cars a game. And we get people from Hayward that come. I mean, now Steve Gillis doesn't live in Hayward, but he's been here twice now. You know, Dan Snyder's been here. Gosh, I'm trying to think of who else. I mean, from the Haywardites that have been here, Pete Badness has been here. For a game a couple times. So, we get people from all over. I mean, Wausau, where I used to live for 20 years, we get, oh my gosh, 5-6 cars a week just from Wausau. And again, we get some strong people from Green Bay that come all the time too. So we make brats, you know, we make burgers, chili, Jill does, and I park the cars and talk to people and have a ball. And then we walk over to the game. You know, we leave about 45 minutes prior and we're easily in our seat before the starting lineup is announced and if they have a flyover. So
I think that's what makes Green Bay so special, is just everybody kind of welcoming everybody to the area. So whether you're from Northern Wisconsin or you're from wherever it is that you're from, but you make it a friendly game day atmosphere and kind of show that Midwest nice, being able to park there and everything like that and enjoy some conversation and camaraderie before heading over to the game. So that's just great that you guys have that. Yeah.
Without a doubt. And the friendships that we've made, you know, I'll give you an example. I mean, doing tours over at Lambeau, I have asked a couple of people, you know, what they want to do, what they're doing the next day. If it's a day before a home game, they want, you know, if they're coming from Philadelphia or California, wherever, they want the Green Bay experience.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
They go, I bring up the idea of, hey, you can park at my house and we're going to do this. All you got to do is bring over any beverages that you want. They're like, oh my God, we're in. And it's so funny now that we've had two or three different couples that tried it the first time and have been back here three or four times since.
You got them hooked.
I got them hooked.
Yeah.
And one of the couples, actually, we invited them to stay here, and they stayed here. Now, this year will be their third time staying with us. They're coming, they want, and they're from California, great people, and they want the whole Green Bay deal, so they picked out the last game of the year against Chicago when it's going to be like zero.
Wow. Yeah. Really immersing themselves in the true culture there.
Yeah, absolutely. They came for, I think it was the Viking game a year ago, and it was a September, I think, or sixth game of the year, something like that. And now they want to go the full bore. They want the full deal.
They want the frozen tundra, what everybody's talking about.
It.
Yeah. All the lore.
They do.
See if it lives up.
Yeah.
Hype.
See if it does. Absolutely.
Well, and hopefully,
like, are you sure? Is this really? Is this what you want? You know?
Right.
Is this the game you want to go to? I don't even know if I want to go to that game.
Yeah. That might be one where you just stay inside by the fireplace and just enjoy, kick your feet up a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and hopefully at that point in the season, hopefully there's not like playoff implications on the line for that last game, which I mean would make the game more exciting. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know if I can handle the stress of that. At that point in the year.
Coming down to the last game, hopefully they have something, you know, kind of reserved. I mean, they're playing the Bears, you know, for that last home game. Who knows? You know, they got the Bears this weekend. You know, the Bears have been kind of on a downward spiral here for the last 2-3 weeks, and ever since that Hail Mary pass.
Yeah.
So we're hoping that, you know, we can just add to that this weekend.
I'm really hoping so, too.
See what happens. But
Yeah. Well, I think the scariest thing would be, like, as if Chicago has nothing to lose, and then they just, like, I don't know, pull out all this. Kind of like the Detroit Lions did a couple years ago, where they weren't making the playoffs, but they could play upset to us. I just hope it doesn't come down to that for the Packers. But
I agree.
A lot of time left before we have to worry about that. So
absolutely. They got a pretty tough schedule. I know the Bears do, at least I think, tougher than the Packers schedule the remaining week. So
yeah, I'd say so too.
But still, anybody can beat anybody on a given day. So let's hope that we can take care of business this week.
Yeah, that would be nice to get a W in the divisional games and everything like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Brad, I gotta ask you about what's your favorite part about being a tour guide at Lambeau Field?
Boy, you know what? There's a couple things. Number one, you meet people from all over the world. You know, I mean, and that's the number one thing. You meet people. I mean, seriously, from Bulgaria, people from Bulgaria were on my tour about a month ago, and people have cried on our tours. People have proposed, you know, on our tour. I had a wedding, a proposal on one of my tours last year. And so those are the things that these people do. Like I said, they cry. They can't believe they're here. We go down, and part of our tour is we get down by the field. We do not go on the field. We're right on that track, the Mondo track, right behind the goalpost in the south end zone. And we get everybody to yell, "Go Pack, go," when we're down in that area, and it echoes. And people, every single time, they are just amazed by the echo that happens. And that's the number one thing about being on tours or doing these tours is the people, how cool it is for them. We always ask in the beginning, you know, where they're from, first time to Lambeau, and 75-80%, when we get that, this is their first time. We have a sign in our little office upstairs in the Hall of Fame that says it's today is someone's bucket list. And it's true. I mean, like I said, these people, some people cry, you know, when they get to this field, because it is such a goal for them to get there. And, you know, you got to realize that every single time. And you got to take, you know, I try to make every tour as special and that you can. And it's just a ball. We have over 70 tour guides.
Wow.
At Lambeau. And I tell that to people and they're amazed. They think we have like 10.
Yeah.
but we have like 70 people, male and female, that do these tours. And there's three different ones that you can take. A 60-minute, a 90-minute, and a 2-hour one, and you're just going to different places throughout the building. But it's these people that do, I mean, all the tour guides, they are so good. A lot of them have been doing them, you know, as a retirement gig like me, but they've been doing them for 15 years, 20 years. I mean, and they are so good, and they're so knowledgeable about the history, you know, and it's so fun to talk to them. And I think I know Packer history, and I talk to people, you know, oh yeah, well that was Boy Dowler and Max McGee, who are the, you know, the ends then, or played wide receiver with Carroll Dale, all these names and these people go, oh no, well then you got to go back to the 50s and then you're talking about these names. But yeah. They talk about Packer history and Packer knowledge just like it's secondary, you know, just like it's normal conversation. And it's, but they are so good at what they do. It's just been a pleasure to kind of learn from them.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to be that well versed in the history of the Packers has got to be cool to soak up and everything like that. So yeah, to be able to share in conversation with people like not only the history of the field, but also, yeah, just the Packers organization in general. But going back to what you were saying about, yeah, people like, I don't know, crying once they get there or what, once they experience it being their first time at Lambeau, sure. I think as Wisconsinites, we might like take that for granted, but to a lot of people, I mean, the Packers are a worldwide team. Like the pilgrimage people take to get there. It's like, I don't know, for maybe baseball fans, like making it to like Fenway. I see like the history of Fenway and then like translating that over to Lambeau Field being an historic field for the NFL. I think, yeah, we're kind of spoiled as Wisconsinites if we're able to experience that, like maybe you go to a game once every year, but for a lot of people getting there for the first time is something that's like a bucket list item, like you were saying.
It definitely is. And it definitely is. And the cool thing about this is that, you know, the Green Bay Packers have fans all over the country.
Right.
And these people that are coming here for these games that are coming here, I mean, and we do tours every single day that Lambeau Field is open. So Monday through Sunday, I mean, we don't do them on game day because there's so many people, but, and our biggest days are day before home games, naturally.
Yeah.
But when you have people coming from, they're coming to Green Bay for business, for example. I had just a person on tour Monday, and he had just got off a plane and booked a tour to get here. He was all by himself. He was the only one on the tour.
Oh, wow.
So it was like a personal tour of Lambeau Field.
And that's special.
I had to get here. I had to get here. He goes, I've been a fan of my whole life. You know, I live in Cincinnati. And, but he goes, I'm coming here to meet with the people at a company here in town. But he goes, I had to get here. And this, you just made it so special and you made it fun. And it's just so cool when you can make somebody's day like that and you could shake their hand afterwards and they say, this was a ball. This was fun.
Yeah. They've got to be, so appreciative of it that you're kind of like this story guide to them. I mean, this storyteller of the whole thing. So, I could imagine the people that you've met along the way, like we could probably talk.
You have some emotion and you can't just like you're reading from a book or whatever, you know, you're just having conversations with them basically, just like you and I are doing now.
Right.
And you're just talking to them about it. You know, 15, my dad, for his 70th birthday, I was working in Wausau at the time. And my dad came over. He was coming, I believe, for a preseason game. My son was working in Appleton. So I got him to come over. I drove over. And for his 70th birthday, we did a tour. And my dad is 87 now, so that was 17 years ago. And I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, I was just amazed by the guy who did the tour. And now to be sitting here, we took a three-generation picture on the field during the tour. And then we had lunch at, which is now 1919. Back then it was called Curly's.
Yeah, I remember that.
Pub. Mm-hmm. Remember Curly's?
Yep.
And now all of a sudden my son is married, got two kids, and we took a four-generation picture now on the field.
That's great.
But that was my first indoctrination into this tour guide thing. And if you would have told me 17 years ago that I'd be doing this and starting my fourth, in the middle of my fourth year, I would have told you were nuts. But It's really been a joy and a ball to be able to do that. And, and see some, you know, Greg Swiler, who, you know, grew up in Hayward, he came to his first Packer game. He's been a lifelong Viking fan, and you know, his family had a store downtown at Ripken's clothing store downtown Hayward when I was growing up. And you know, Greg just came with some friends, and they came for the Packer Houston game. And I did a tour. I got him on one of the tours that I did. And I mean, it's kind of nervous, you know, when you have somebody that's your friend, you know, that you've known for years.
Yeah.
That, you know, that you don't want to flub any lines or anything like that.
Right.
You want to make sure that you know your stuff a little bit, because you don't want them to go, oh my God, I was out with Henkel and man, he blew it. You know, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You're under more pressure or something when you're with those guys. But anyway, it was fine and he enjoyed it tremendously. So, and then he came over to our house for a tailgate, you know, on Sunday. So he had the full Packer experience.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
We didn't switch him from being to a Viking, from, you know, we didn't switch him to the green and gold. He still bleeds purple.
Oh, okay.
We gave it a better shot, Eddie. We gave it our shot anyway.
That's all you can do. Yeah. My wife's a Vikings fan, so I'm still trying my best here.
Yep. Well, let's see what they do the remaining weeks too. They didn't look so hot on Sunday, but you never know.
The magic might be fading from Sam Darnold here a little bit. I don't know.
Yes, it might be.
Yeah.
It might be.
What are a few interesting facts about Lambeau you can share with our listeners right now? Without us being in Lambeau right now, what are some interesting facts to you about Lambeau Field?
That it used to be where Lambeau Field is, it used to be a farmland. And they actually bought the land. The city of Green Bay bought the land from a farmer for $73,000. I think it was like 73.5, but they bought the land from a farmer back in 1957, and the farmer, because it was just like I said, farmland. So he kept the acreage. I think it was like 53 acres, I believe it was. Well, anyway, he sold 51 acres to the city of Green Bay so they could build, which was called New City Stadium back then. That was the name of the stadium. But then he kept land for himself so he could park cars for the fans that were going to the games at Lambeau Field at New City Stadium back then in 1957 for 50 cents a car.
Wow.
That's what he charged in 1957, 50 cents a car.
He's a crafty businessman.
New City Stadium. Yeah, he was. He was a smart businessman.
Yeah.
So it was called New City Stadium. Then in 1957, it had a seating capacity then of just over 32,000. And the people in Green Bay said, why did you build it so big? You're never going to fill it up. You're never going to get 32,000 people to come to a game. Now today, that stadium, Lambeau Field, has a capacity of 81,041, which is the second most in the NFL next to MetLife, by the way, where the Jets and Giants share a stadium. They have a seating capacity of 82,500. Everybody in our tour always says, well, Dallas has got the biggest stadium because they get 100,000 people there, but 20 to 25,000 of those people are standing room only, and the NFL doesn't really count those because they believe in, they're actually counting seats.
Yeah.
So, but the waiting list for season tickets at Lambeau Field is, you can sign up today, tomorrow, any day you want to, and it's free. All you do is you give them your name, address, city, state, phone number, zip code, email. And the only problem is there's more than 150,000 names in front of you.
Oh, man.
For a season ticket.
Yeah.
Because you can build your season ticket all the way to a first cousin. So while, you know, maybe grandma and grandpa bought the tickets back in 1960, for example, and, you know, they've willed them down now to a second or third generation. Well, that third generation might live in Baltimore. you know, or Buffalo or Minneapolis or wherever. But they keep them in their name and they sell them kind of to, you know, the Ticketmasters and the brokers of the world and stuff like that. So they just don't want to leave them. They don't want to give them, they don't want them out of their family name a lot of times. So,
right.
So the turnover each year is very, very small.
Okay.
Very, very small.
Because I've heard of people like as soon as they have a kid, they put them on the Packers season ticket holder waiting list.
Yep.
And so then they,
yep,
they hope by
that.
The time they like get to be like 60 or something like that, then their name might come up. But
Yes, that's what people do. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's crazy.
So it still happens. I put my grandson on 2 months after, 3 months after he was born. But I just signed him up for club seats, which are a more expensive ticket. There's 3,000 outdoor club seats in Lambeau, and that they have, it's a chair with a back. And you could get waitress service, waiter service, whatever, on an app on your phone.
Oh, wow.
So, and then you have 3,000 indoor club seats, which are indoors, like being in a box. So like being in a luxury suite, but if there's 3,000 of you around, and that's in the north end zone, and the waiting list there is much smaller. I believe when I signed up, my grandson, it was 18,000 or 20,000 at that time, and that was 3 years ago. So he gets a postcard from the Packers every November that shows him how far he's climbed up the ladder.
That's
so I
awesome.
Think it's, I think he's in the 14,000 range. So.
Oh,
we are hoping by the time he's a junior in high school that he might be able to be, that he might get in or by a sophomore or something like that. So
he's
that's
like,
what we're hoping.
Do I buy a car or do I get these season tickets?
Yeah.
We got to.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what you're getting for high school graduation. It's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to pay for your tickets, but that's going to be the closest way a Hankel anyway could get season tickets. That's in our name anyway. So.
That's strategy right there. You can't knock
it
that. Yeah,
it is. That, absolutely.
So
those are a couple of the facts that we talk about during our tours that's really kind of interesting. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. You said that you've been doing this for 4 years. So has there ever been a time where you've been giving a tour and you've been able to meet a Packers player or maybe you guys have had like a dinner or something like that. Who's a Packers player that you've met or your favorite player that you've met over the years?
Well, we have one of the things that happens on day before home games is called alumni tours. And people can sign up to be on a tour with a former Packer player. And several, you know, so what the Packers do a fantastic job of keeping their alumni involved with the team. So they will bring in two guys, like, for example, Amon Green and comes to mind Amon Green and Antonio Freeman are two of them that have just done this with us. And so they sign up for tours. I've been on one with Antonio. I was on one with Amon Green. So what they do is, like, for example, Amon will sign autographs in the atrium of Lambeau with let's say Freeman, and from 11 to 12, and then they'll go be a part of tours for a couple hours in the afternoon, and then they'll sign autographs for some of the people who come to the game at a certain level at Lambeau on Sunday right before the game, and then they get introduced as a co-captain before the game. So the Packers have done a great job. So like Lynn Dickey has done this. Leroy Butler has done this. I was on, like I said, I was on the tour with Amon Green, who still, you know, I was just on with Amon maybe, can't remember, I think it was the Houston game, and Amon could still play today. He is still put together very well. Gilbert Brown has done some of these with us. Leroy Butler is still very eloquent in talking. Lynn Dickey, as I said, Jerry Kramer. I'm going to be on one for the the next home game with the 49ers, Bonnie Holiday.
Oh, okay.
He's coming back.
Nice.
To do a tour with an old, number 90.
Yeah.
Defensive end. And I will be on his tour. So Frankie Winters is coming back. He was with us the week before the home game. So Frankie was with us before the Lions game. So like I said, the Packers have done a marvelous job of getting former players still involved with the team. They have an alumni weekend, which is the first home game of the NFL season, and they introduce all of these guys that they invite back, at halftime of the game, and they have a number of different autograph things for them the day before. So it's just a fantastic thing, and I still get tongue-tied around these people, and I'm still fans, and these guys were my heroes, growing up, and you still get tongue-tied around them, but
I could imagine. Yeah, it's, just interacting with, players that have had such a significant impact on your life, and especially as a longtime Packers fan, that could be pretty intimidating, but it's great that they do that with their former players and just having that connection, and really goes to show how much the Packers value that community aspect of it.
One of the most interesting guys, I was on a tour, last year with Eddie Lacy. And so my job when I'm on tour, there's two tour guides and one tour guide, usually a person who's been there longer than me. I haven't had the chance to introduce one yet, but they introduce them in the suite, which we're in the alumni suite. And then the other tour guide, me, goes to get them and bring them in. And Eddie Lacy was nervous as heck coming in to talk to these people because he has a 10 to 15 minute Q&A in the suite. And then we take them down to the field level. They get pictures with him. They sign anything for him, or he signs autographs and stuff. We give him a card that's signed, that he signs for every single person in the tour anyway. But I grabbed him, and the funniest thing, I grabbed him. We had two tours with him, and he was nervous, just nervous. And I said, "Why are you so nervous?" And he goes, "I don't know what they're going to ask me." And I'm just scared. I'm just scared. I go, "Just be yourself and kind of BS your way through it. You know how to do this," or whatever.
Yeah.
So at the end of the first one, he did great, And then I put my arm, I walked with him. I picked him up for the second, or got him over for the second one. And I said, "Okay, here's the deal. You have two choices. Number one, you could go see these people who love you, 30 people, 40 people that are going to ask you questions. Or you could fumble in the national championship game. And then you have to go back to the sideline and put up with Coach Saban. Which one do you choose?" And he said, "Easily, I would rather fumble in the national championship game and put up with Coach Saban than I would to go in there and talk." I go, "Why?" He goes, "Because I don't know what they're going to say. I know what Saban is going to say.
True.
Don't know what these 30 or 40 people are going to ask me. And I don't want to come across looking like I don't know what I'm talking about." So I thought that was humorous as all get out.
Yeah, and just goes to show the human side of the athletes.
The human side.
We build them up, and they do a lot of great things on the field, but at the end of the day, they're also human. So I think it's cool also to, hear that side of it too, because they perform at such a high level, but also at the same time, we can't forget that they're people.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Public speaking is not, that's what he told me. Public speaking is not my forte.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "That's what makes me nervous, is public speaking." But he says, "I'm going to give it a shot."
And that's all you can do.
He did so well. And that's all you could do. And he enjoyed it so much, he came back this year. So I was real glad to see him come back. One thing that was really cool, we get out of the suite. You take an elevator down to one floor below. You don't get in the Packer locker room because it's busy. but you stand in the tunnel and you take the same tunnel out to the field that the Packers do. And we pipe in audio. So we pipe in crowd noise and we pipe in music, and a PA announcer says, and now you're 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers, and give them the feeling that they are like a Packer player for 30 seconds. We're doing an alumni tour 2 years ago, and one of the guys on the tour, we were with Antonio Freeman, and he asked Freeman, what would Reggie White do? Would Reggie White get everybody together, and would he say something to the team right here in the tunnel before you took out on the field? And he said, absolutely, he would do it. He didn't do it all the time, but he did it a lot. And this guy asked him, can you do a Reggie White impersonation? And I mean, I cannot, but Antonio Freeman pulled it off like you wouldn't believe. And this guy had tears in his eyes, this fan. And he goes, that made my whole trip, that 1 minute. And Freeman got everybody in this huddle and, you know, did a raspy voice, a hoarse voice, kind of like Reggie was, and brought up some of the things that Reggie might say. And it was just cool. And I'll never forget it. But I'll never forget that guy with tears in his eyes. And he was from Alaska, I think. And with tears in his eyes saying, oh my God. And then we left and we started walking down the tunnel, and he had to dab his eyes and tears in his eyes. And he just said, that made my whole trip. I'm so glad that we asked him to do that.
Yeah, just to get a window into what it would have been like to play with Reggie White would just be crazy.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Yeah, what a special thing. Special moment.
What a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a leader. What a leader. You know, I had a chance to meet him a couple of times as a fan and a member of the media. I'm not an interview guy. I'm in sales. But we had sales functions that Reggie was at, and just listening to him talk in front of us, was just amazing. I can imagine him being in the locker room, and Leroy Butler has told me some of the things about him as well, that, you know, the leader that he brought and how he kind of transformed the Green Bay Packers. That was, if not the best free agent signing in maybe even in NFL history, just because it transformed the Packers to a team that players would want to go to, you know, and because Green Bay was a city and a team that, you know, players didn't want to go to. They didn't have a winning tradition, very small city, and not a lot to do besides play football. And Reggie changed all that. And, you know, that was a fantastic signing that the Packers did. But to have a leader like that be on your football team was amazing.
Yeah, just to have that presence and just to bring that tenacity on the defensive side of things. And then plus you have the explosive offense with Brett Favre and Antonio Freeman and Robert Brooks and everything.
Brooks and Chimura and Keith Jackson at tight end, and you had a good line, and then you had a solid defense, you know, when they won that Super Bowl in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
to have that solid defense, you know, and you have Butler and Eugene Robinson and Craig Newsome in the secondary, and Wayne Simmons and Gilbert online along with Sean Jones. I mean, yeah, you had some very talented people, you know, on that roster. So
I remember
absolutely fantastic.
My grandma had taped that game on her VCR. And so I would go over there to, like, we would be babysat by my grandma. And every now and then, when I was over there, I would just watch that Super Bowl game. And I just remember, them going against the Patriots. And I think it was like ZZ Top performed at halftime or something like that.
They did. I was there.
Yeah.
I was there.
Okay.
ZZ Top performed with one of the funniest things of that game. ZZ Top performed, and at that time, Blues Brothers 2 was coming out, the movie Blues Brothers 2, and One of the stars of Blues Brothers 2 was Jim Belushi. You know, the guy who ended up being, what, According to Jim or something? You had that sitcom ABC for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a chance to meet him, and he's a huge Bears fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I met him at a sales function thing through TV, and I said, yeah, you were pretty funny. I'm at the Super Bowl watching the Greek. You know, I'm there. But I said, you're the halftime entertainment for the Green Bay Packers, your biggest rival, the biggest rival of the Chicago Bears, and you're a Bears fan, and you get to be the halftime performer, halftime entertainer for that game, you know. And he goes, I know, I couldn't believe it. I despise the Packers.
That had to kill him. That had to eat him up inside.
It did. He goes, it took me a lot. He goes, but I'm under contract. I had to do this and stuff like this. So he was with, I think, Dan Aykroyd and John Goodman were the three, I believe. And but he mentioned, but yeah, pretty funny.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Would you say the Packers winning that Super Bowl was your favorite Packers memory, or what's your favorite Packers memory over the years?
I would have to say so, just because I was there.
Yeah.
You know, just because I was there, we had just an amazing time. I get a lot of people, some people have asked me that. I mean, I remember going, 2 weeks prior to that, I was at the game when they beat Carolina to go to the game. And I guess that had to be maybe 1B, because I knew that I was going to the Super Bowl. My boss had told me that, that we're going. If all we got to do is win this game,
that's pretty good.
We're
going to
be going.
Yeah,
yeah. So I knew that we were going to the game, so we just had to win that game with Carolina. So that would probably have to be 1B. But you just feel now. And I'll tell you, it was just amazing, because you talk about highlights or games or whatever, but the Green Bay Packers, I've been such a fan my whole life, and I called my dad with this. But when I got the job to be a tour guide, we had to go into Lambeau for a kind of like an informational HR thing, and then you had to sign some things, get your picture taken for your badge and everything. But when that guy, we're in this room, in this conference room, and this guy, the HR guy, gets up there and he says, "Welcome to the Green Bay Packers." I mean, I was a huge fan growing up.
Yeah.
Ever since I with my dad, and I remember watching the Ice Bowl and Super Bowl I and, or Super Bowl, I didn't remember Super Bowl I, but Super Bowl II for sure. And to be able to hear somebody say, "Welcome to the Green Bay Packers," and I'm now an employee of the team. I mean, I still pinch myself, because I can go into the cafeteria, and I could get a soda or water or popcorn or whatever into the employee cafeteria. And they do such cool things for their employees, like Fridays before a home game, is they have a great lunch that Delaware North puts on. And if you're working that day, you can go in there and have lunch. And I mean, Murphy is in there. Mark Murphy's in there all the time. Successor, Mr. P, is there all the time. And just to be able to see these people and, "Hey boss."
Yeah.
You don't say, "Hey Mark." You don't say, "Hey Mark." You go,
right.
"Hey boss."
Yeah.
And he doesn't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But and then each year they do a employee get together, like in May or June, and he brings in a guest speaker. 2 years ago he brought in Paul Tagliabue, who used to be the commissioner of the NFL.
Oh yeah.
He brought him in, and he spoke glowingly about being at Lambeau Field and things like this. And then this year he brought Peyton Manning.
Oh, wow.
And so you have 300 people sitting there that are, you know, your employees, part-time, full-time. I mean, I don't know how many we have. I know game day, you know, you add in a ton of security and things like that. So there's over 1,000, I'm sure, on game day, if not 2,000. But on regular normal between part-time and full-time, I think it's 400 to 500.
Yeah.
But you have all these people. So you got 400 or 500 people sitting there, and there's Peyton Manning talking about, you know, his career and his future and how he, you know, what he's doing now with media and TV and things like this. And
yeah, it's,
so there's a lot of things that you can, there's a lot of things you can really point your finger at and point your finger and say, what were your favorite moments?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is for me. Yeah, those games. But then when I saw that thing up on the screen that said, welcome to the Green Bay Packers, that was a huge thing for me.
Like a goosebumps moment there for sure.
Yeah, I called my dad when I got the job, and I couldn't wait to tell him, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to tell him, so.
Is that what makes the Packers organization so special to you?
Yeah, you know, you as a fan, you know, you see some of the things that happen, but you don't get it. Really, and I mean, until you are, at least for me,
mm-hmm.
when you look at, like I said, I mean, now they have that lunch for, I mean, it's a lunch that they have, like I said, on Fridays before home games in the fourth floor of Lambeau. I mean, and it's Delaware North puts it on, and it's fabulous. You know, they have the neat things that they do for their employees. Every employee, even the 10-hour, 15-hour a week guys like me, we all got these vests that signify the draft that's coming. You know, we have the draft coming next April. And everybody got a vest. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool, you know, to be able to showcase, you know, such an important event that's coming to Green Bay next April. But that's how important that event is, and how important, you know, Mr. Murphy really wanted Green Bay to have that event. So the little things that they do for their employees makes it really special. And you wouldn't know that unless you are one. And that's really made it special for me. And like I said, how they treat the 10-hour a week guys like me versus the, you know, the full-time people is fantastic.
Yeah, and I think if you look around the league, you can see how other organizations are run and see, okay, well, maybe they're not even the best of their players. I wonder even how they, like, your imagination can just go and, like, I wonder how they treat, like, their employees there. So I'm glad that the Packers are a team, like, it's easy to root for them not only as a team, but also what they're doing within the organization, especially with how they treat people within their organization. So,
without a doubt, and how they treat their employees, and, you know, like, and then I've seen how they treat their former players.
Yeah.
And I've talked to Paul Kaufman. I've got to meet and know a little bit, and he has told me, now Paul played for the Saints as well as the Vikings, and he says, yeah, the Vikings will invite us back, but, you know, Vikings will invite me back to some things. But he says, I got to pay my own airfare, or I've got to pay my own hotel, something like that. Mm-hmm. And he says, when I come back here to Green Bay, it's all paid for. You know, he says, it's just amazing the difference and how the NFL, how the Packer organization treats their former players. He goes, it's far better than even Kansas City, the same thing, because he's talked to other players around the NFL. And he says, it's amazing how they treat people tremendously, their former players, you know, versus maybe some of the other teams.
And I think that could go a long way into, like, the decision-making as far as, I mean, we touched on free agency and how big Reggie White was for the Packers to acquire, but like, if you're a player that has a choice of going somewhere else, and now Green Bay might seem like more of a viable option to go to rather than it was in years past.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And now you've got, you know, you've got a great, you know, a very good, you know, very good coach, you know, Coach LaFleur, who's doing a fantastic job, but you got a young rising quarterback who could be a star in this league for a number of years. They sure think they do. They sure think he's going to be. So, and that's, this is such a quarterback driven league. Why wouldn't you want to go to, especially if you're a wide receiver, why wouldn't you want to go to an organization like this that throws the ball and you have a guy that, you know, that's going to be a star in this league, you know, and they, and the Packers sure feel like he's going to be. So, they feel they've got the right one.
Yeah. Well, and just even thinking about like Josh Jacobs just joined the team and so did Xavier McKinney. And I mean, those
McKinney,
have been,
yep.
yeah, two huge signings and not something yeah. that the Packers would have done in years past as far as like big names go. So the fact that we're able to get those two guys to come, I think has really helped the team so far this year. And, yeah, what are your thoughts on the team so far this year? I mean, sitting at 6-3 coming off the bye week headed, I mean, it's now Bears week. So how are you feeling about the team so far?
I'm excited. I mean, all I want them to do is, need to say in a selfish way, I guess, you know, I would love to have a home playoff game. But, you know, I think maybe some of the aspirations at, you know, for this year were maybe a little higher than maybe what people thought just because the way they ended the season last year. I mean, they were on such a run when they ended their season last year, especially the way they played in Dallas for that playoff game, should have beat San Francisco in that playoff game. I really do believe that. And could have, you know, should have played in the NFC championship game last year. So I think the expectations this year going in were maybe a little higher. You have to remember this, they have the youngest franchise, the youngest roster in the NFL. You know, so I think maybe some of the aspirations were a little bit, expectations were a little bit higher this year than, and people are a little disappointed that they're not better than 6-3. I'll take 6-3 right now. I think they can win 6 of their last 8 games. I do believe that. And I think they can, if you can get to 12, you know, you might not get a home playoff game, but, you know, you get in the dance and that's all you want. So I'm excited for the year. I think they're going to turn it, you know, start playing a little bit better. They, you know, you had some drops of Detroit. They beat themselves against Detroit. They had a lot of drops. They had some penalties. You know, they had some chances there against Detroit. And while the score was not indicative of what it was, I mean, they sure feel that with some change, you know, with the ball going a different way and not making mental mistakes that they did, they could have maybe made that game a lot closer and maybe had a shot going into the fourth quarter. So that's what I'm kind of hoping for, is that they stop, you know, making the mental mistakes, stop beating themselves, and really put 4 good quarters together, which I don't think they've done yet. And that's what I'm hoping they'll do this weekend against Chicago.
Yeah, I think you really start to see some of those like youthful mistakes come out there, or they're showing their youth. But then also at the flip side, there's times where you see flashes of greatness, but it's, piecing together a complete game they haven't been able to do. But I think just looking at years past and things like that, I think the Packers really thrive when they're in that underdog role rather than when they're that top dog heading into the playoffs. Because
I agree.
I feel like, I don't know, it's just that mentality of, you know, everyone's counting us out. Nobody thinks we're going to win this game. And really, I mean, nobody expected, even as a Packers fan, I didn't expect them to do what they did to Dallas. Like, that blew my mind.
No.
I was on such,
me too.
I was on cloud 9, like the rest of that week, just walking on there. I was like, we just went into Jerry World and dismantled the Cowboys, and they had just jaw dropped faces and everything like that. It was, couldn't have been better. So I think, if we're able to, I mean, just continue to, starting off with the Bears, get a victory there and just build off of that and really gain some momentum as we close out the season. I think the bye week came at a good time. We were starting to get pretty banged up and everything. So I feel like I like this bye week where it's at rather than earlier in the season, because I think you need more of that energy to make that final push. So I'm excited to see what the rest of the season holds. And
hopefully. I do too. I am too.
Yeah, hopefully get a Packers home game. So, or a playoff game.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? It would be wonderful to get. Yeah, I mean, you're going to need a break. I mean, if they don't win the division, and Detroit is playing so well, the odds are that Detroit's going to, win the division. But if Green Bay can get in as a 5 or a 6, and then you never can tell what's going to happen, after that. Maybe a break here and there, somebody gets upset, and the next thing you do have a home playoff game. But I just want to get in the dance and have a shot, and then see where it goes from there.
Yeah, and I think Detroit's a tough environment to play in. I think their fan base has really been electrified over the years, ever since Dan Campbell's kind of come into the picture, and has really developed a great culture there in Detroit. So I can't knock them for that.
Yep.
I didn't predict the NFC North to be as competitive this year. I thought it was going to be mainly between the Packers and the Lions, but Minnesota's really surprised me with how well they've been playing. Last week, not so much, but I mean, them being undefeated at 6-0 at one point, is just pretty crazy.
It is. Yes, it is. Nobody thought Sam Darnold would play as well as he has. And I always thought that the Viking defense would be pretty good, just because their defensive coordinator, Flores, is, widely respected, I believe, around the NFL, and a very good, knowledgeable coach. So I thought their defense, would be pretty good. They lost a couple of people in free agency, but they got some other guys too that helped them very well. So yeah, they've kind of surprised me, but also, we've seen the Vikings, play well, and then all of a sudden, maybe in December, kind of peter out a little bit, and that's what we're kind of hoping again that happens. I think that we can beat them in Minnesota, I look forward to watching that game, but that's always kind of, in my mind now, the biggest rival that we have, has been the Vikings the last 10 years, and I think we can beat them there. We've done it. We did it last year, and we can do it again. So let's hope that they do that. Let's hope that they, can see what they did last weekend is kind of something that's going to continue to happen.
Yeah, some trajectory in the negative direction for Minnesota. There's a reason why they don't give the Super Bowl trophy out after week 7 or whatever the case is. So you got to play a full season.
Yeah, we say that at some of the tours. There's Viking fans that come on our tours, and they're wearing their purple. And when you wear purple in Lambeau Field on a tour or just walking around, you want to get picked on. You're just asking to do that. So we oblige by that, and we show them. By the way, did you see what we have in the in Lambeau Field? We have a 50-foot Super Bowl trophy that is in Lambeau Field. I don't know if you know what one of those looks like, but we do have one there for you to take a picture of and take back home. So there is one in there. So and then they just laugh at you. So kind of funny.
They've probably come to expect it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Brad, it's been...
Nope, should be an interesting season.
Yeah.
Should be an interesting conclusion of this season. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how it all plays out. Brad, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
I love what you're doing. This is fantastic. And I love that what you're doing and bringing the highlights of the Hayward area and everything to your listeners. I congratulate you for doing that. Congratulations, and keep on doing it.
Thank you. Will do. Before I let you go, what's your score prediction for the Packers Bears game this Sunday?
Let's see. It's probably going to be closer than what people think, but the Bears aren't scoring as much. So I'm going to say we're going to take care of business 21-13.
You heard it here first, folks. 21-13.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
All right.
I hope so. Thank you so much for this invitation to be on your show. Continued success. And again, thank you for bringing what's going on in the Hayward area to all your listeners. You're doing fantastic.
Thanks, Brad. Maybe we'll see you sometime down in Green Bay here pretty soon.
Absolutely. Call me up anytime you want to.
All right, we'll do. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.